welcome Skyview Baptist Church tonight. Let's start with singing 178. I know you guys don't have hymnals, but we're going to sing On Jordan's Stormy Banks. Which I know you don't have a hymnal. There's power in the blood. Amen. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power. Power, power, wonder work.
Thank you, Brother Dan. I appreciate that so much. Let me give you a couple quick announcements. Wait a minute. Do we have any birthdays this week? Any birthdays? Yes. Okay, Kaylin. Becky, that's Kaylin's birthday. Okay. Is Kaylin listening online? Are we online? Did we make it online yet? All right. Is there a way to find out if she's listening online? Yeah? Yeah, well, I think your mom's calling her. Are you texting or calling her? Why don't you call her? And she can hear herself online. And we need someone with a mask on to bring me that phone here, and then we'll give her a quick call and see. Anybody else have a birthday this week? Just double checking. All righty. See if she'll answer. Here we go. Oh, here we are. I'll let you put it on there, and I'll say 6 feet away because, you know, you're infectious. And just set it right there. And I'm trying to be good. And hit the little phone button. Uh-oh, I don't see the little phone button. In the corner. Oh, that little phone button. All right. There we go. Okay, let's see if we can. What's his name on here? P-I-D-T-E-R? Hey, time to sing happy birthday to you. Is that you crying?
No, it's my nephew Lucas.
Okay, sure, blame it on Lucas. All right, are you watching online? Because I know you're faithful to the services.
I was, but then I got a call.
Smart Alec. All right, we're going to sing happy birthday to you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here goes. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right. You got to tell them all thank you now.
Thank you.
And how old are you?
18.
Oh, my word. When are you coming back home?
That's a good question.
Oh, parents bought you a one-way ticket. I know how that goes. All right. All right, I'm going to hand the phone back to your sister. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. There we go. You got that. And I am very bad at the social distancing thing. I'm trying to work on it. So still saying thank you. All right, a couple other quick announcements. Tithing plates are in the back of the auditorium. Teenagers, they're not communion. It's put in, not take out. And a couple other things. We're still using supplies. Need supplies for the homeless. If you can bring things in for the homeless, that's still be used. That's a big help to them. And we had our graduation service. That was a lot of fun. I got to tell them, Matthew, that the thing you guys missed out on, and we made them practice. And I got to thinking we probably shouldn't have made you guys practice. Is what's the name of the song they played at the end? Yeah, I'll Make a Man Out of You. That's the name of the song from the show Mulan, and one of the greats of the faith, I'm sure. And they're going to play that at the end, and it was going to be a lot of fun, and that's all approved. And then they had these buckets full of books, and they were going to put them on a PVC pipe, you know, and carry them out, kind of like the cartoon. That's how they're going to march out. And so they said they're all set up. I said, "Do you want to practice?" They're like, "Oh, we're fine." I said, "Oh, let's practice." Said, okay. So they got those buckets, and both of them got about five steps, and skoom, skoom, they fell everywhere, tripping, falling. And I thought, oh, I shouldn't have made them practice. That would have been one of those Facebook, you know, viral things. And so, everything went wonderful. Appreciate the speeches, and more than the speeches, the lives of the people who graduated this year. Brother Benny Beckham's coming. And what? Yeah. July 19th. The other thing is, I haven't mentioned to you, and a lot of it is just trying to figure out what's going on. Camp, Pleasant Valley Bible Camp, Baptist Camp. Pleasant Valley Baptist Camp is going. It's going to go. We're going to do it. We are going to camp. And praise the Lord. And so you'll have to wear a mask to bed. If certain teenagers have to wear a pillow on their face, but we are having camp, and so the problem is July 19th is supposed to be the date when the money gets in. We haven't been able to, you know, to to know for sure. We're trying to figure out what phase of this or what phase of that or what we're going to do. It's $90 a person. That covers all the fees, your transportation, your camp, all that other stuff. And so the other part is I'm not pushing hard for camp. I'm not trying to make it big. I mean, if it's big, we have to figure out what to do. And right now, we're in a weird stage where, like, we have King's Kids tonight, and we have three kids. We could have called people or tried to get transportation to get more, but we're trying to figure out how to do it right and then ease into getting a little bigger and growing this thing and doing everything right. Let me say this. I'm going to take a moment, and I'm not speaking as long tonight. I intended to take a moment. There's a church in Eastern Oregon, and many may have read the article, and they're calling it ground zero of another COVID outbreak, right? And if you read, there's an article I read, and there's other articles, but if you read the article, they say, we believe it's the church. Now, understand that the whole county has 27,000 people. That's not big, in case you're wondering, for a county. And so in small communities like that, does anybody know where La Grande, Oregon is? Okay, the city's outside of La Grande, Oregon. So just in case you don't know how towns like that work, there's one cafe, one store. Everybody knows everybody. You know, to say this was the location, I'm sure there's some way to do that and all that kind of thing. But the way the article reads, there's a church. COVID broke out from the church. We suspect they didn't do social distancing because of videos. Well, okay. You know, but then the next two-thirds of the article, and you know what kind of church it is? They think men and women are supposed to be different. And they push social gender separations. And they push modesty. They force modesty on women. And not only that, but they went back into the history of all the people, all the churches around, and found people who have police records. And I'm sure there's nobody in our church who ever has had a police record. And you're like, Pastor, I didn't get a record. Didn't get a record, but the thing I'm trying to tell you is this: is you don't understand how important safety is unless you're not safe. You don't have these guys who take the first thing a construction worker does when they go put a table saw out is they take all the safety equipment off as quick as they can, right? And it's no big deal, and you don't understand how important it is until you've lost your finger. When you lost your finger and you're over there going, oh, should have had the safety equipment on. Yeah. So what I'm saying is we're staying with it and we're still wearing masks and we're still social distancing and we're still trying to do things the right way. I have said once we you know, 6 feet apart when we're sitting in the service, you can take the mask off and I'll try to remind us, put the mask back on before we move around. I walked out of my office. I started to walk in the auditorium and I heard Dan go, do I need a mask? You have a voice like mine, you know. And I was like, oh, dirty rotten. Right back in my office, got my mask. So I understand it's difficult. But I want to take a moment to help you understand that we're doing this on purpose for a reason. We're doing it first off for safety for everybody. But beyond that, we're doing it for testimony. And we're trying to do things right. And I'm going to take a moment just talk to us at church. I don't mind being online, but this is for us. To understand is that's why we're still pushing a lot of the stuff. And as you go other places and they're not doing it or other people are getting away with it, as far as I know, when I go to Home Depot or Lowe's and I use the restroom, there isn't somebody waiting for me to step out and go in and sanitize the whole place. Things like that. I understand we're taking a step further, but there's more to this. There's a lot of politics happening right now that we don't all understand. And we have some people think there's no politics that are happening, and some people think, finally, I'm right. My conspiracies are here, you know. And everything in between. We have everything in between. I'm not as concerned about that as saying we're going to stay a step ahead, a step above. We're going to do a little extra. It's going to be inconvenient. I don't like it. Like King's Kids tonight, we just have three people. We're going to keep them, you know, keeping kids social distance and then working with them. We're wearing masks and memorizing verses. Everything was where was God, where was God? Okay, that's good enough. Okay, we'll check it off, you know. And it sounds like you're going through a drive-thru window. But I'm trying to let our people understand where we're at, okay? Now, I talked to Mrs. Beckham. Mr. and Mrs. Beckham, and they have a daughter. They're all coming. And she sings and so on, and daughter plays piano, and then, of course, he travels. And they're buying their tickets. They're coming. They're ready to preach at the church. So we're having the services. And I mentioned again, we're having camp, and it's going to be in August. I'll announce the dates, but in July is when we're supposed to have the money in. And I'm not pushing as hard to have as many people. So if you're thinking, oh, I don't need camp, I'm already very spiritual and I'm fine and all these other things, I'm not chasing you this year. You have to just ask God, do you want me to go to camp, and then do what God tells you, or whichever, come or don't come. That's the deal. We're trying to, if we have camp and we have less people and we do it right, that opens the door to do more. And the reason I think we're having services here is, we're doing things right. You guys have been good about it. Nobody likes it. There's a few of you that's voiced your opinion, one or two of you. This is stupid, and things like that. But you're doing it, and I appreciate it. And I'm trying to make sure we're all on the same board. We're going to need to raise some money for Brother Benny Beckham, July 19th. We're flying them out. The tickets weren't cheap, of all things. And usually you go Southwest, which is a cheaper airline, and Southwest was way more expensive, like almost double of the other airline. And I don't quite understand if it's a South Carolina thing or whatever it is, but the tickets are fairly expensive, and we're bringing them out, and we need to raise some money. So I'm thinking it's going to be about $3,000 if you could help. And I don't care if it's 12 cents. If the Lord touches your heart to put 12 cents in the offering, put 12 cents in the offering. I just want God to see us as obedient people, and he'll take care of the rest. And I think I covered everything. Let me see. Oh, it's 3 p.m. Saturday, and we're going out soul winning. And we're just putting flyers on the door. If you see people and talk to them, stay 6 feet away, things like that. But right now we're putting flyers on the door and trying our hand at that. And we're not going to have food afterwards like we normally do, but that will start fairly soon because we figured out how to do some social distancing with food. And what we do is, like after the graduation, for those who weren't there, we had everybody sit 6 feet apart at the tables, and we threw sandwiches to them, and they caught it with their mouth. But everybody sat apart. I'm going to ask you one thing. I'm going to ask you to try to keep the social distancing. You know, if you're sitting at a table and you don't care and your buddy doesn't care, let's try to keep it. Let's a couple of feet apart, still going to be okay. Let's work through this. Everybody's ready to be done with this, but it's not done. So let's keep working through that. Soul winning Saturday 3 p.m. And I think that covers everything. Is there anything I'm forgetting, Mr. Myers? I think we're doing good. All right, folks, let's have Mr. Roach come up and lead us in a song.
Sing one last song. God is good, right? God is good. Amen. He knows all things. He knows what we're going through. In the sweet by and by, one last song. job.
Amen. That was wonderful. It's time we take our tithes and offerings, but I was shushing you. This time we take our tithes and offerings, and I think the King's kids are about ready to be dismissed. And so they do it right at the beginning. Why don't we go ahead and dismiss King's kids, I think is what we're supposed to do. And there we go. We head on down. And then I've got the offering plates. I bring one up. We don't pass it around, but I still bring one up. And one of these days we're going to have to figure out how to do communion, Mr. Myers. We're going to maybe we'll put each little piece in its own plastic bag and hand them out. Oh, that's so sacrilegious. All right, so mercy. Appreciate that so much. We're going to have a word of prayer and ask God to bless the offering tonight. And let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for you to put your hand of blessings on the offering tonight. Lord, we need you. And Lord, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver and use this for your glory. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Job. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts and chapter 4. The book of Acts and chapter 4. Book of Acts and chapter 4. Let me move a couple pieces of paper here. And what does this say? Is this something I was supposed to see? That was for a graduation thing. Looks like I got left here. Acts chapter 4. We're going to read quite a bit of scripture, but we're not going to take as long with it. It's a pretty simple concept. And I don't know that it'll be a new truth. I think it'll be an old truth applied, and it'll help us. That's what we're looking for today. And again, I shouldn't even say it that way. There are no new truths in the Bible. If you found something in the Bible that nobody's ever found before, it's probably not there. It's just a thought for you. And I learned that when I get a new doctrine. I go, well, if it's a new doctrine, it's been 2,000 years and no one discovered it, probably a reason for that. Acts chapter 4, and we're going to start reading at verse number 32. I'm supposed to go to Acts 5:15, so we're supposed to read all the way through. And it might be your Bible reading for the day. I may skip a little bit here. We'll see how it goes. And move this to the side and get things started. Acts chapter 4, and starting at verse number 32. The Bible says this, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and gave grace, and great grace was upon them all. And neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of them of the things which were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So far in verse number 4, we see God doing a great work, and people are all coming together in unity, so much so that it's kind of like your family. You know, if your parents, if your children have need, you know, if they need to use your car, they can come use your car. They can stay in your house. You know, if they have medical bills and you know, you'd sell your house or whatever. I mean, it's kind of, they all became one family, and they didn't say, this is mine, this is mine. It all became kind of one possession. Let's just help each other. And then you see in chapter 5, starting at verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said unto Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear fell upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. I got to go to verse 15, I'm sorry. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick under the streets and laid them at the beds of the couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Let's have a word of prayer and get into the message for this evening. Heavenly Father, we ask that you put your hand upon us and give us wisdom. Help us to understand the truth from your word, apply it to our lives, and to live that truth, Father. Bless each person here. Give us ears to hear. We yield this service to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ananias and Sapphira. You've heard about them in the Bible. Kind of a strange story when you think about it. To me, some of the wild things is here we are in church, right? And let's pick a couple. Let's see. Chris and Julie. I want to pick on Chris and Julie. And they just sold a house, by the way. And so let's hope they live through the service. So they say, you know what? Let's just say, hey, Pastor, what God put it on his heart, and we're going to sell our house, and we're going to give all the money to the church, and the church is going to use it to help all the people. And understand, a lot of the people, this is at Jerusalem right after Pentecost. These are people who traveled there from all around many, many different countries. So they were, I'll use the word, camping there. They were staying there. So it wasn't like they were all at their homes and they all lived there and they all had stability. So people were selling their properties and doing things like that to help fund this big movement, Christianity that's coming, and make it possible to feed everybody, take care of them, and things like that. So Chris and Julie sell their house, and they come back. And they sell it for $350,000, and they think, holy moly, $350,000. Let's say it was $200,000. And we'll just say it was $200,000. We'll give the church $200,000. And that's $200,000 more than the church would have had anyway. And we'll keep $150,000 because we could really use that money. And so they do. And Chris comes in. He'll be the first one. He'll be Ananias. And he shows up, and I say, did you sell your house? Yeah. And you giving it all? Well, yeah, we're giving it all. I said, you lied. Why would you lie? And by the way, it's very interesting, very, very interesting. Think about this. Teenagers, look at me for just a second. Think about this. He said this. You didn't lie to God, or you didn't lie to man. You lied to God. Now, he does not record Ananias saying, oh God, I gave that much money. He lied to God's people. He deceived God's people to make them think that he is a certain way that he when he wasn't. And Peter said, you didn't lie to God's people. I know that's what you thought you were doing. You lied to God. It's very intriguing. And there may be more to this story. I mean, they may have said, we vow to God we're going to give this, and it wasn't necessarily shown in the story and so on. But he made it very clear what they did for the people's sake, so you would think a certain way. They actually were lying to God. Now, so then let's imagine I said, Chris, you lied to God. And then Chris, boom, just dies. Okay? Now, here's what's interesting to me. Isaac and Alex and Matthew and Danny all get up and wind him up with cloth of some kind. I don't know what they had, rags around or whatever. And they wind him all up. And they carry him out to the back over there by the plum trees. And we have plum trees back over that way, yeah, by the plum trees, and start digging a hole. And it's like, just, yeah, that was a weird service today. You know, someone came in, lied to God, they died. And they're out there shoveling and burying, and they just bury him. It wasn't like he called the police or anything. I mean, just like, yeah, let's bury him. And then his wife, Miss Julie, comes in for this illustration, and I say, did you sell the house for $200,000? Yeah, it was $200,000. Yeah, that's right, $200,000, yeah. And then she just, boom, falls down dead. And then Isaac and Alex and Matthew and Danny come walking back in. They go, oh, another one. All right, wind her up, carry her back by the plum tree, and I wonder what's going on in that service. You know, maybe we'll stay out here, you know, And they just bury it. It's just strange to me to hear, like, and they died. And so some of the guys got up, walked over, buried them, went back in, sat down. Oh, wait. Oh, his wife died. And they took her out. And so when you picture this in your mind, you're thinking, how common is this that, like, you know, oh, someone just died in the service. Go bury him. And so I picture this stuff in my mind often. But it's very interesting when you look at some of the things that we learn here. And there's one basic truth I want us to walk away with. I'll give you a couple more examples of it in a minute. And it's a pretty simple truth. I told you it wouldn't take too long this evening. But the first thing he said this. He said, Satan, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. Well, let me start back a little bit. Barnabas. We've heard of Barnabas. Okay. Barnabas was seemed to be the first one, at least the first one they mentioned. He said, you know what, guys, what? What I own means nothing to me. This is everything. Almost like he was a man who found a treasure in the field and went and sold all that he had to invest in that treasure because that was so much more important. He said, I'm going to go sell my possession, bring the money back, and we'll be able to feed the widows and we'll be able to help the people and we'll be able to keep so people can stay here and learn the word of God. And so Barnabas set this example. By the way, wonderful, beautiful thing. Well, then, you know, everybody else starts doing it. Now, let me warn you ahead of time. I was in this meeting. I see Matthew were there and Danny was there, I think, with Brother Benny Beckham. Yeah, and I kind of saw it start where people started going, you know what? I'm done playing games. I'm getting real. And they just started, I mean, they're confessing in the church. Stories you hear about, you know, and if you're a gossip monger, man, show up with your pen and paper because they're not holding anything back. You guys know what I'm talking about. They're kind of watching that meeting go on, and so the first person does it, and you're like, man, that's stupid. Four or five people do it, and you're like, wow, something's happening in their life. I guess I better get on board. Now, stay with me for a second. So understand that things start happening, and you know, Dan sells his house, and Gary sells his house, and Chris and Julie, I guess we should, you know, I guess that's the thing to do. And they go do it. And by the way, there was no rule. They're very. We'll talk about that in a second. So understand this. This is a spirit that's happening. Something that's happening. Everybody's jumping on board. They get wrapped up in it. Now, Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. I'm going to point out a couple of very simple things. One, but Peter said unto Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? In Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Now, they started off with a spiritual endeavor. They wanted to do something spiritual. This is a huge spiritual sacrifice. And they agreed as a couple to do this. We are going to sacrifice spiritually. Then it says, somewhere between the time that they left the church, put the property up for sale, sold the property, got the money in their hands, and came back, somewhere Satan came in their heart. Now, to me, as a pastor, I see that often. Let's use camp. And we go to church camp. I mentioned we're going to go to church camp, right? Who's ever been to church camp before? You all understand this. Okay, I think almost everybody in this room has been to church camp at one time or another. You get to church camp, and you get away from some of your stuff. And here's some simple math for you. If you ever want to experience church camp at home, you cannot fill your mind with secular stuff and end up spiritual. You can do spiritual actions. We're going to put flyers on Saturday, right? I could pay the post office to do that. You do not have to be saved to do that action. You follow me? You can do spiritual actions with a secular heart. But you cannot just take in secular stuff all the time and become spiritual. And one of the things I've been dealing with personally is I got this thing called VidAngel and another thing called ClearPlay. And so the shows that I watch don't have bad things. I guess you can't edit shorts, you know, or immodesty or something like that. But there's Chris back there in shorts. If I could edit you, Chris. All right. So there's some things that, but by and large, it's nothing that if you went to my house and watched shows with us, 95% of the time, I'd be fine with you sitting there and seeing. There's nothing I have to be embarrassed about. You with me? But it's not godly. It's secular. And cops, you know, chasing people and shooting at them in movies and whatever. And it's just secular. And you can't fill yourself with secularness and come out spiritual. It doesn't work. So I'm not just throwing stones. It's one of those things I'm looking at my life going, yeah, just because it's not bad doesn't mean it's good. And so... that's probably cruel to you, but you can't drink water. I won't do that again. So somewhere in the time that they go to camp and they make a decision, they go to camp and they take out the secular, even though we still have fun at camp and things like that, you focus on the spiritual, and you feel so different. It's like your ears open up and your eyes open up. There are people who've gone to camp who say, I'm not going to camp because they don't want their ears to open up and their eyes to open up. They actually intend, like, I'm not ready to get right with God. Like, I'm afraid if I go to camp, I'm going to get caught up in the moment and get right with God. By the way, way more common than you ever imagine. Because they know. If they could hear God and see God and have clarity in their mind and not be so busy, that they'd probably just say, okay, God, yeah, God makes sense. Yes, I've been stupid. And so they make decisions at camp, and everybody knows what happens after you make decisions at camp. You come with your sails they have air in your sails and you're ready to sail full speed and you're ready to do something big for God. And within the first day, usually, within the first day almost always, Satan has something waiting for you to knock the wind out of your sails. That's something very important. The Bible says you actually have to, for Satan to do it, you can put your mask off, by the way, if you get a little sleepy and things like that, I understand that. If you actually are going to do what Satan or what God wants you to do, then you for Satan to knock the wind out of your sails, you have to give place to the devil. Let me show you, Dan. I'm not going to come closer, but let's pretend I came up and I slapped you. Whack! Slapped you really good, okay? Would you deserve it? Yes, you would. No, I'm kidding. Yes, I would. I love his confessions. Yeah, sure, I deserve it. Okay, so if he can, I deserve too. All right, so let's give up and I slap you, right? Now, giving place to the devil is not turning the other cheek. It isn't the fact that you got slapped that made you give place to the devil. It tempted you. You follow me? It made you want to give place to the devil. But giving place to the devil is when you give in and you let the devil control the way you think. So what's supposed to happen? Do you remember this? I don't know if you remember this from before. We had a lesson on it. If I slap you across the face, what are you supposed to think if you reason like God reasons? Yes, turn the other cheek. And a couple of people are doing the sign. Anybody know what this sign means? Cha-ching. You turn the other cheek because you get a reward in heaven. If you punch back, then you get your reward here on earth. And you lose your reward in heaven. And I have not had anybody strike me yet for being a Christian. I've had people get close. But I there's a reward in heaven I do not have. And if I think right, when I get whacked as a Christian, I've been whacked verbally and things like that, but if I get whacked physically as a Christian, boom, I should be thinking cha-ching, and I did not give place to the devil by going, oh yeah, buddy? Yeah, you want this? So understand then, it's very important, that it says Satan got in there between the time you decided to do something spiritual and the time you actually did it. How many times have I had people say, God wants me to go to Bible college? Now, if you've been around me, you know I will joke about it, you know, and I even pit Bible colleges against each other. I love doing that. The good Bible colleges, I think it's fun. And I'm like, West Coast, Harvest, Hiles Anderson, and we don't have any Golden States in here, do we? Oh, there you go. we got one of the rebels. One of the rebels still here from Golden State. That's right. And so I'm like, you know, which one's better and who shows up for and I joke with that. But when rubber meets the road, if you ask me, I'm like, God has to tell you to go. I don't tell you where. Pastor, tell me where to go. I won't tell you where to go. I don't tell you where to go. I don't even tell you if it's God's will for you to go to Bible college. I don't know that it is. It's not God's will for everybody to go to Bible college. I think it's a great thing, and if you don't know God's will, head that direction, and all the ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct your path, and He may direct you somewhere else. I really like the idea, and I do this a lot of West Coast. A lot of people come for a year, get a good foundation, and then go from there to another college, and I think that's wonderful. I don't think everybody has to go to Bible college to be wonderful and things like that, and so I'm very honest with people, but watch this. How many people have come to me and said, God told me to go? Well, no, I don't want to pressure you. No. God told me to go. And between that time and opening day, they gave place to the devil. He got in there. Well, I don't know. Wait a minute. You didn't say, I told me to go. You said, God told me to go. Yeah. Then how come all of a sudden it's, I don't know? Why aren't you saying, God doesn't know? Well, God is confused right now. Because God has some opportunities. Yeah, you notice how the verbiage changes? And by the way, I am sorry because there are people who feel this person, I don't want to embarrass them. I thought it was kind of funny. I asked them, are you scared of me? They said, yeah. Like, all right, no. But there are people who feel pressured. Okay? And I understand sometimes I do that, even when I'm joking or whatever. Or sometimes I'm just really excited about something and I'm really like, man, you ought to do this. You got to do this, you know. And I don't feel like that, you know, I forget sometimes I'm also Pastor White and your pastor is telling you to do this. And you're like, oh, no, now I have to do this. And so I get that, okay. And I get sometimes people feel pressured to say God wants me to do that. But when God tells you to do it, how come you changed your mind? Who did you meet? What did you do? What happened? He says, Ananias and Sapphira, from the time you decided to do this and you said, this is what God wants me to do. He said, by the way, it was in your power to change your mind. He's very clear. You'll see this in a minute. Well, let me read it to you. Let me just see what the Bible says. Why does Satan fill thine heart to the light of the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Verse 4. Whilst it remains, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Said, while it was still there, it's yours. You could do whatever you wanted with it. After you sold it, you could have come back and said, you know, we decided to keep it all. You had a right to do that. It was your land. Nobody told you to do this. You follow me? I can almost hear it in Peter's voice. Why? Why? If it were Alex, if it were you, and you came up, and I was Peter, okay? This is Alex, and I know you, right? This is Ananias and Sapphira. They're in church with him. And then you lied. I'm like, do you get what's going to happen to you? You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine? I'm like, why did you do it? Why? Well, because there's kind of pretty heavy penalty. Plunk. And so I hear frustration in Peter's voice because I've been there. I've been with people like, why would you do that? I don't get it. You sold everything for a bowl of chili and you knew it. I mean, you had examples in the Bible. You knew it and you did it. I hear the frustration, so stay with me. And then he says, Satan filled his heart, Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. They lied to the Holy Ghost. Each time you lie to God's people, you're a hypocrite. You're lying. And by the way, this is a inference I get from the Bible, okay? I'm telling you where I get this idea. There may be another idea. There's other options here because it could be that there was some vow we don't know about. But from what I read in the Bible, the best I can tell, if I come to the church here and I lie to you, I've lied to God. I mean, that's what it seems to say. Now, I'm okay if you say, hey, here's what the Bible really said. Here's all the reasons. I go, okay. You know, and I've done it before. I've got up and said, yeah, I was kind of wrong on that one, I think, and told you the other thing. But as far as I can read, I've looked it up quite a bit. It says, you think you lied to people. You think you lied to your mom and dad, kids. Got out of trouble. But you lied to God. You lied to God's people. You lied to God. And he says this. He says, they lied to the Holy Ghost. Each time we lie to God's people, we lie. We pretend. We fake. The action of keeping some of the money wasn't sinful. That's important to understand. Okay? They thought they were only lying to men, but they were actually lying to God. We understand that Satan filled their heart. Now, here's what's very important. And please, this is where we're going to go. This is one thing I want you to walk with. Are you all with me so far? It's a little hot in here. Anybody hot? Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you this. Jeff Arment is going to be in sainthood. We've got an air conditioner blowing in here. It's way cooler in here than it would have been. And so I'm very, very thankful for that. And we have a second one we're working on getting going, and we may have two air conditioners come blowing in here. And you'll see all the people that like it cold to be on this side of the church, and all the people that like it hot to be on that side of the church, and we'll have a divided church. We see something here, and this is what's very important. Ready? Satan convinced them to pretend in church to be something that they're not. I want that to sink in for a second. I'm going to pause. Satan convinced them to pretend to be something in church that they're not. If I get criticized honestly, and I have enough things I don't do well, okay, I get that. I would much rather have people criticize me and saying, he's always talking about, you know, his sin, or he's always pretending, you know, and I don't mean I want to broadcast sin, but I want to be Roman white. It's important to be Roman white. And here's why. If I stop being Roman white because Dan's watching. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, let me just make a little bit of a change here. I might choose to do right because you're watching, and that helps encourage me to do right. Perfectly fine. But if I pretend to be something I'm not because you're watching, that's what Ananias and Sapphira were doing. You never get real help until you're real. Very important you hear that. You never get real help until you're real. If you've been counseling with me, time is shorter And as I feel time get shorter, I don't take as long. So sometimes someone will tell the story, and you've been trained your whole life to tell a story a certain way. Who's had kids before? Raise your hands. I just want to see. Okay. Who's managed kids, either a Sunday school teacher or a teacher of some kind? Okay. Let me see if you've ever heard this story. I was sitting in my chair, and so-and-so came by, and they just hit me across the face and walked away. You ever hear that story? Welcome to adult counseling. Because you've been trained to do it for years. So you leave out certain parts. You know what's always fun for me? I actually enjoy it. When people don't know any better. When they don't understand the rules of the church. And they come in to get counsel. I began counseling with a couple one time. And one was a Christian who'd been grown up in church and then got backslidden. And one had never been exposed to Christianity except for what this person had exposed him to. And they were brand new Christian. And I was just talking to him a little bit. We're talking about it and talking about how they met. And one's like, we saw each other. We kind of had an attraction. A friend knew this person. And then I asked him on a date and went on a date. Another one just didn't know any better. It's like, well, yeah, I wasn't too sure. I was at the bar and I was kind of drunk. But when they came up, I thought, well, you know, I'll see how it goes. So I brought them back to my apartment. And you can see the other one. You can't tell the preacher this. And I looked at both of them and said, this one, the one who's honest, can be helped. This one is playing a game. And as long as they play a game, I can't help them. Until they get real, I can't help them. And so I was just entertained at watching the other one squirm. And be like, they wouldn't just be like, just shut up. You've already done enough, you know. But that other one was vital. Because I could look at the person and say, so you drink. Well, once in a while, I don't have a problem with it. Okay, good. So, do you believe God? Yes. So if I could show you in the Bible that God says he doesn't want you to drink, would you stop? Well, you can't show me that. You ever notice that wasn't the question? If I could actually show you, would you stop? Well, you can't show me that. Well, probably because you're going to go, little, 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 little. But I can show you in the Bible that God's against social drinking to get a buzz or to feel a little better. I can show you that. Now, I can't say all alcohol is sin. And the same person that says all alcohol is sin will go to the doctor and let you pump them up full of morphine before they go for surgery. And I sort of think the morphine's a wee bit more powerful than alcohol, I guess. I don't know. Is it Gary? Is it? No, I'm kidding. but understand then that and now we're talking about alcohol. I got all sidetracked. That when you pretend you're something that you're not, that prevents you from getting help. One of the strengths at Skyview Baptist Church is the ability to be who you are. Now, let me say that. Can I pick on you for a second, Alex? Is that okay? Are you up to it today? Okay. So, most people here really like Alex. Okay? Except for me. But everybody else, no. Most people like Alex. Does anybody think he's perfect? Yeah. Look at this. Give us Barabbas, right? Now, hold on. I have watched Alex come so far and do so good and conquer so much because he is able to say, here's where I'm really at. I have watched people criticize Alex for getting up and saying, here's where I'm really at. There's a couple times they're like, too much information, Alex, right? They've done that. But hold on a second. Hold on. And I'm picking on Alex a little bit, but I'm doing this for your sake because I've had people come afterwards and say, when Alex got up and gave too much information, I said, yeah, I've got the same problem, and I got right with God. Helped a ton of people. Now, you're Alex. It's okay to be Alex. But I've got to watch Alex grow so much because he's Alex. He's real. I've watched people criticize you. You ever heard anybody criticize you? Give you a bad time? Yeah. You've put up a little bit, haven't you? Yes, he has. And when he was tempted to not be who he is, he just said, no, I want to be Alex. That is a huge, huge strength. You say, well, but what if I'm not where I'm supposed to be? Welcome to the club. When I tell you I sin, when I tell you I speed, okay, I don't think it's okay to speed or talk on the phone without my Bluetooth while I'm driving. These are alleged things because it's on video. Allegedly talk on the phone while I'm driving. I'm not going to tell you when and where or anything like that. But when I tell you that, okay, the Bible says keep the law of your land. It's no better of a sin than adultery, but it's more socially acceptable. So if I were to get up and say, well, I kind of got a problem with adultery, I don't think I'd be a pastor here anymore. I hope I wouldn't. Okay, I hope you guys would fire me. You with me on that? But understand that both are rebellion against God. Both are rebellion against God. And when you are who you are, then you could begin to make changes. So let me make a couple quick statements and then we're done. Ready? Number one, being who you are isn't the answer. It's the beginning to the answer. Don't walk in and say, well, I do this wrong, that one, but I'm not a hypocrite. No, you're a real idiot. Okay? You don't just revel in it. You don't just brag about it and say, that's just how I am. I'm going to live there the rest of my life. Then, well, I'm not a hypocrite. No, you're a real live idiot. It's not smart. We're not saying to be bad. We're saying to be who you are so you can get better. So being who you are isn't the answer. It's the beginning of the answer. I want to be clear about that because I've had people do that before. Well, I just do these kind of things and that's who I am. Like this is all okay. When I tell you I speed or something like that, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just dealing with me at the level I'm at and trying to work. And by the way, I love cruise control. I call it righteousness buttons. I love it when Google, does your Google do that? Like, you got a speed trap coming now? It'll say, you got a speed trap coming. You know? Yeah, also, you got a speed trap coming. And I'm like, I don't care. Because I've got cruise control. It still makes my heart race, though. And then the last thing is this. When you're real, it's when you can get help. Please understand that. When you're real, it's when you can get help. I mentioned a story. I know you all heard it, and I won't go long on it. But when we first married, my poor wife she was in a studio apartment. I'm guessing the whole apartment, bathroom and everything, was probably the size of this stage, bedroom, bathroom, kitchen, everything. And we were in beautiful Gary, Indiana. Anybody know anything about it? There's a whole song about beautiful Gary. Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana. In the 70s, it was the fastest growing city in America. And in the late 80s and 90s, it was a murder capital of America. And they had a sign out front, a city sign that said, welcome to Gary, murder capital of America and lowest paid police force. I'm not exaggerating. It was on the freeway. And so my wife lived in just two blocks outside of Gary, Indiana. So we weren't in Gary, Indiana. We were two blocks away. And she was trapped in that house. She couldn't go for walks. And I didn't really understand that. I'm working so much and going to college. And she'd call me up and she'd say, when are you coming home? I'm like, never. I'm like, I'll get home and I'll sleep for an hour and I get up and I'll go to college and I'll come back incoherent. I'll try to eat something and sleep for an hour and go to work. And I didn't understand that concept. I heard a preacher say this one time, there's nothing more useless than a brand new husband. And somewhat true. And so I didn't get it. And then she'd call and she'd say, where are you? When are you coming home? Well, why don't you want to talk to me? Well, I'm so busy I can't see straight. I don't have time to talk to you. And she kept saying, why don't you want to be with me? I do want to be with you. That's why I'm working this job, so you can have a place to live and food to eat and be alive, so when I get a minute, I'll be with you. And I was frustrated, right? So I tried something. I tried what no couple ever does, no Christian couple ever does, so no one here has ever done it. But I tried to change my spouse. Not let the Holy Spirit change my spouse, or not change her through prayer, but just create a position that would force her to see herself and make her change. Okay, I know that's not what you would do. I was just one of those really stupid people who thought that might, you know, even though I was taught that didn't work, I thought it might work in this particular instance. So I started when she would call, I'd say, why are you getting off the phone? Why don't you want to talk to me? when am I going to see you? And then whenever she went somewhere, where are you going? And I was doing that all the time. And I did that for about a year and a half. And she wasn't catching on. I was a little frustrated. I mean, a year and a half. And so I was talking to my dad one day. And I said, Dad, here's the situation. I told him when she calls and she says these things and she doesn't get it. And I did it back to her so she'd get it. And I did it, you know, in a way that it hurt a little bit, you know, so she'd catch on. You know what I mean? And he said, son, I did that for about 7 years. And my first thought, I'm being honest with you, and it shouldn't have been, but I thought Mom was smarter than that. And he said, after 7 years, I realized that I was a jerk. Silence. So basically, Dad, if I get this conversation correctly, you're telling me that I'm a jerk. And he said, well, son, you asked. And I said, well, Dad, I want to inform you something about this jerk. He said, what is it? I'm only going to be a jerk for a year and a half. You were a jerk for 7 years. He said, that's what I was hoping for, son. Now, wait a second. What was this? I was being honest with my dad. My dad said something back to me and allowed me to change. I'm not proud that it was a year and a half, but I'm so glad it wasn't 7 or 10 or 15. I am so glad. I mean, I look back at the year and a half, and even telling the story, I feel kind of stupid. Luckily, I was younger, and so I can say I was younger and stuff like that, you know. But stupid can run for a long time. And I'm pretty good at it. You know what I'm saying? So whenever I can escape stupid, I really love to be able to say, I used to be stupid. But I don't do that anymore. I used to grab that stove, but I stopped grabbing that stove. You with me so far? The way that happened was I was real. I wasn't calling my dad and telling him, trying to convince him what a good husband I was and how superior I was to other people and how our marriage was perfect. I wasn't putting up that Facebook picture. Okay, picture done? Yeah. Why'd you rub my shoulder like that? I wasn't pretending. Now, I want you to walk away with this, and we're going to pray. Before you get help, you got to be real. I know this sounds really weird to say. It really doesn't matter what the preacher thinks about you. I really don't have the power to stop you from serving God. I could say you can't vacuum the church. I have some authority in the church. But God's not going to let me stop you serving God. He'll give you ministry. It really doesn't matter if the church looks at you and says, you're wonderful. At the end of the day, it matters what God says. Don't pretend. You know what wonderful is? A wicked sinner, in spite of the fact they have flesh and they're wicked sinners, choosing to serve God and making the right choices. And people cheering them and going, wow, you made the right choice. Yeah. Well, you got the same flesh I do. That was tough. I get it, man. That's awesome. Proud of you. Great job. But don't live your life trying to impress the people of God instead of impressing God. Please hear that statement. It doesn't mean don't live in a way that you don't. I don't care if I impress you. I'm going to spit on you. I'm not talking that way. I'm saying don't live your life pretending. Be who you are. Ask God for help. Get wise counsel. And move forward. And you know what the best part is? If you don't pretend, you eventually can get to the place of being what you were going to pretend to be. You just actually be it. And you don't have to pretend. And if they put a bug in your house, they'll find out you are who you really are. And if they come to your car and they see you and your spouse talking, they'll find out you are who you say you are. And if they meet your kids and the kids get really close to you and they tell you the truth, they'll find out you are who you say you are. Don't pretend. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Ananias and Sapphira, they lost their life because they were lying to the Holy Spirit by lying to the people of God. And Father, the example you gave us of how serious you take that, Father, help us to say, I am who I am. God knows who I am. I'm going to do what I can to get better. But I'm going to be who I am so I can get help where I'm at. Father, there's someone in here today who realizes, you know, I've put a little too much weight on what the people around me think. And not enough weight on what God thinks. I know there's a balance there, Lord, and they both work together. But Father, would you help us today to say, I'm going to be concerned what God thinks. I'm going to be who I am and not pretend. Lord, bless this invitation like only you can. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the piano plays. Will you just say, God, I'm going to be who I am. That fear that you have, whatever's facing you right now, just say, God, I'm giving this to you. If people judge me, they judge me. That's just life. That's part of gravity happens. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. Some people judge you, some people love you. That you can't control the world around you. But I can be who I am and try to get better. Lord, help us to be okay with not being satisfied with who we are. I'm not telling people to accept who they are. I'm telling them to be who they are and try to be more like Christ. Father, please bless. On us is inconceivable. All of creation is such a minute dot to who you are. And inside of all of creation, we are so unbelievably insignificant. But you know us, you see us, you love us, and you care about us. God, that must make us pretty important, not because we're important, but because you make us important. Father, we love you for that. We ask you, help us to serve you. Help us to give up our hearts and our lives, take up the cross and follow you. Bless each person who's come, Father. Please bless them in a special way because they were obedient and came to church. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Real quick before you're dismissed, it sounds like the kids are still active down there. So if you're going down there to get your kids, try not to pile up. You know, and get too many people. I'm not sure what this is our first night of King's Kids. I know Miss Judy has been wanting to have them back for a long time. Little story about Miss Judy. She's been teaching little kids for 30 years, roughly. Probably more than 30 years. When she retired from Clackamas Community College, and those who are in the Oregon City area know it as Harvard on the Hill, she came and I said, would you consider working in the school? She drives from Oregon City every day to work at a school, and every year we have to give her a raise to match minimum wage. So she basically pays for the privilege to work here. And she said, you know, I'm not a teacher. I said, but you love those kids. Oh, you can't. You can teach someone who loves kids to teach, but you can't teach a teacher to love kids. And so then she did King's Kids. Man, she just loves your kids. And she'll get aggressive with you. She'll be like, you need to memorize with your kids. And you she'll defend your kids, I'm telling you what. And so it's so good to see her down there. I think she may have some, she might try to slip up some treats or something and get in trouble with me. You got to watch her all the time. That's awesome. But you know, I love you. I'm so thankful for you. We got cleaning time afterwards, Danny. And where's the table going to be? Why don't I let you be dismissed real quick, Danny? Go ahead and get the table set up. And then, Mr. Roach, do you mind coming up and just ending us in a word of prayer? Why don't you come up and pray for us real quick?
Our Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Pray your blessing upon us, Lord. Thank you for church. Thank you for it being open, Lord. Pray that you would prepare our hearts for what's to come in the future, Lord. Pray that we would keep our eyes upon you, Lord, that we would be real, Lord, and that we would be honest to you, Lord, that we would try to please you and not man, Lord. Pray that you bless all those that couldn't make it here tonight, Lord, and that you bless us for this coming Sunday. and for Saturday door knocking. In Jesus' name, amen.